We thank you for the opportunity we can gather here this morning in the house of worship to praise your name, to hear your word, and to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper. And we pray that you would use all of these to edify us, to build us up, and to strengthen us to be your disciples. We pray for your pastor, Cedric Benner, his wife and family, at their celebration they have for Bria. We ask that you would give him rest, give him strength, and give him wisdom to know how not only to chart the course of his family, but also to chart the course of the family here of saints at Bishop Cummins. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. So I've never been so wired up in all my life. I've never had one of these doohickeys. I mean, I wear my hearing aid over here, which was because my wife and daughter thought it would be great I could, like, listen to them now and then. And then I got this. So I feel like I'm really loud, and I never need to be mic'd. Am I really loud?
Yes.
If it's too loud, they can mute it. I don't care, but they mute it during the songs, which is good for you. You think Ruth and Doug came here to minister? No. They came here because my singing is so bad, they decided they had to leave St. Stephen's to come here. Of course, we're from St. Stephen's. I help out occasionally there. I work for M&T Bank. But we have sister at St. Stephen's and really love the saints there. And of course, you know this church planted St. Stephen's. If it wasn't for this church, there'd be no St. Stephen's, and I wouldn't be here. So you need to remember that you planted that church, and they carry on your mission and ministry. And your ministry is not over yet, is it? No. Good. So if you can hear me, great. I don't think that will be a problem. So we're going to look at the gospel that I read. We're going to focus on today on Mary Magdalene. What about Mary? And yes, we're going back to a resurrection passage, but it's only been 3 weeks since Easter, and I'm not sure if resurrection passages should ever get old, because every Sunday, in a sense, is Resurrection Sunday. So Mary Magdalene is arguably the best known and most popular sinner of the New Testament. A great deal of the romantic portrayal of Mary, however, has no foundation in the scriptures at all, but is a product of a later Christian tradition, which ultimately inspired contemporary cinematic depictions of her. So in Jesus Christ Superstar, which came out many decades ago, some of us remember, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Timothy Rice, 1970 musical, Mary is depicted as a prostitute, platonically in love with Jesus, not having a sexual affair with him, but obsessed and baffled by him, not knowing how to love him. In Franco Zeffirelli's TV movie, Jesus of Nazareth, Anne Bancroft plays the Magdalene as a prostitute of angry intelligence, in contrast to Jesus' disbelieving male disciples. More recently, in Martin Scorsese's controversial film, The Last Temptation of Christ, Mary is a tattooed prostitute to whom Jesus was attracted physically, his last temptation. In today's popular culture, Mary represents the repentant sinner, lifted from the depths of prostitution by her romantic love for Jesus, proof that even the lowliest can be saved through repentance and devotion. All of these fabrications come together in Dan Brown's popular work of fiction, The Da Vinci Code. And you remember how popular that was in the past. You know, for centuries, it has been the custom of many Christians to share dyed and painted eggs, particularly on Easter Sunday. The eggs represent new life and Christ bursting forth from the tomb. Among Eastern Orthodox Christians, this sharing is accompanied by the proclamation, Christ is risen, a great tradition. But here's another piece of Christian tradition or fiction. One tradition concerning Mary Magdalene says that following the death and resurrection of Jesus, she used her position to gain an invitation to a banquet given by the Roman Emperor Tiberius. When she met him, she held a plain egg in her hand and exclaimed, Christ is risen. The emperor laughed and said that Christ rising from the dead was as like as the egg in her hand turning red while she held it. Before he finished speaking, the egg in her hand turned a bright red, and she continued proclaiming the gospel to the imperial household. So these fabrications of Mary Magdalene offer a different picture from the one the Gospels give us. And since we have just passed through the Easter season, I thought it'd be a good idea to take a few minutes and meet the real Mary Magdalene, the Mary of Magdala, the Mary of the Gospels. As you know, the first witness to the resurrection. We meet Mary first in Luke chapter 8. And if you were to read the first two verses of Luke 8, she is linked with Joanna and Susanna. She's one of several women. Women who had been healed from various afflictions. She herself was healed of seven evil spirits. And after a healing by Jesus, she became one of several women who became supporters of his ministry and that of the apostles. That's a fact. The second fact, Mary was from the town of Magdala and therefore was known as Mary Magdalene. In the same way, Jesus was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. Magdala was a bustling city in Jesus' day and for several decades after. The Jewish historian Josephus estimates the population of Magdala at around 40,000 people, give or take. Just recently in the ancient city of Magdala, they've uncovered a first century synagogue and four Jewish ritual baths. And if it is truly a first century synagogue, the speculation is, could that have been a synagogue in Magdala that Jesus would have taught in? In comparison to Magdala, maybe you don't know this, but in 2010, the church census of Catonsville was about 40,000. To approximately the same size as Magdala. Mary Magdalene, a citizen of Magdala, a healed woman, an affluent woman ministering to the Lord, one of several women who ministered to the Lord. You could say a band of sisters, a fellowship of sisters. These are the facts, nothing but the biblical facts about Mary. And these facts are not remarkable. So what's remarkable about Mary? She's present at the cross, she's present at the burial, and she's present at the resurrection of Jesus. In all four Gospels, during the last week of Christ's life, there is no one more loving, more loyal, more long-suffering than Mary Magdalene. One poet brought it to light in this way: not she with traitorous kiss her master stung, not she denied him with unfaithful tongue. She, when apostles fled, could dangers brave. Last at the cross and earliest at the grave. In all the gospel accounts, Mary is watching, she's waiting, and she's wishing for an opportunity to serve and wait on the Lord morning, noon, and night, dead or alive. Put yourself in her sandals for a moment. The Lord who had loved her and healed her was dead. Her hopes are shattered. Her heart is broken. She's heavy with sorrow. His death is very real to her. She has lost possibly her best friend, a friend that seemingly, as the scriptures would say, was closer than a brother. Do you know the loss of a best friend? And that best friend could have been your spouse, a true friend not related to you, or a family member. If you've ever lost a friend, a loved one, and of course we all have probably here, you can remember how it was, right? And therefore you can imagine what it must have been like for Mary. Mary has crossed over now to the dark night of the soul. Mary reminds us that true love costs, what real friendship means, what commitment entails, whether in a marriage, family, or the church. Mary had loved her master, Jesus, fiercely and fervently, and was ready to take the final steps to prepare his body for his burial. And so early in the morning, the other gospels say, the women went to the tomb, We're focusing on John. So John says Mary went to the tomb early in the morning while it's still dark to minister to Jesus one last time. The one verse I find intriguing, and I'd like to research it some more, part of the passage mentions when the disciples, Peter and John, had seen what it was they thought they should see or wanted to see. It says they went home. Now, I don't know if that's typical of all males, but they went home. But Mary stayed. And like the disciples, Mary's not concerned to be seen at the tomb. She's not concerned or embarrassed by the association with the crucified one. She's not afraid to be seen as, you are one of his disciples, are you? Which is what Peter heard, right, in the courtyard. No, we know that from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other women are there Easter morning, and Mary is there Easter morning. And Mary is the highlight of the passage. So at the empty tomb, empty Mary stands. She's forlorn, and she's weeping. She's weeping alone. And why is she alone? Because Peter and John have left her. I guess the other women at this time have left for a while too. She looks in and sees the angels, and they ask her why she's weeping, and she tells them. But she's determined to find out what happened to Jesus' body. I mean, he's not there, so he's got to be somewhere. She wants to know where. And then she meets the gardener, whom she does not recognize because of her tears and sorrow. So profuse are her tears that they have blinded her sight of him who is before her. In Psalm 88, verse 8, David writes about the fact that in sorrow, he says, my eyes grow dim from sorrow. She was so blinded by her tears, she didn't recognize Jesus. And then Jesus says one word. Jesus says her name. And in an instant, the scales fall off of her eyes and her broken heart leaps for joy. She, whom a moment before was lost, was called by name by her great shepherd and friend. And the sheep know his voice, and he called out her name. And then Jesus lifted her up by the hands and took her away from his feet. He gives her a mission to go and find the others and share the good news that he's alive. Mary, the first herald of the gospel. Before Peter, before James, before John, before Andrew, before Billy Graham, Mary is the herald of the resurrection. What a privilege, what an honor, what a thrill for Mary. She who had loved much was the fit instrument to sing first of his glory and of his resurrection. You know, we read later that upon hearing the news from Mary, the apostles thought that her news was, well, it's just an idle tale. Let me read that in Luke 24. The guys on the road to Emmaus say, we heard the message, but it seemed like an idle tale. But I'm thinking again that Mary would not think too much of what they think of her news, right? For she had seen the good news before her. She had been filled with the good news by the calling of her name. And she was sent to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection. She wasn't concerned what people thought of her news. She was only concerned about the news that had been given to her. She had longed to hear his voice again. And that joy she would never forget. And her Lord she would never forsake. Easter morning, Easter day, was when Mary heard Jesus say her name. And each Sunday, in a sense, is a resurrection Sunday, a day to sing his praises and proclaim his name. And in worship, he calls and summons each one of us by name as well. Loved ones, to have the passion of Mary, to share the gospel as she did, to have the certainty of hearing his voice, to have the courage to walk out these doors with he is risen on our tongues. Mary's passion, her faithfulness, her love, her earnestness, where did it come from? It came from Jesus, of course, her rabbi, her Lord. It came from Jesus because he first loved her. Which brings us to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Where in the scripture do we last get a glimpse of Mary? Well, she's probably included in chapter 1 with the apostles, the brothers of Jesus, and the other women, which it says there. And then it says, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They're all together in the upper room after the resurrection, the empty tomb. They're all staying in Jerusalem in prayer and fellowship and in expectation, Acts chapter 1 says, expectation of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Where shortly after, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon them in tongues of fire, equipping them all to go forth to share the gospel from the city gates of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So Mary Magdalene will fade away from our view. But she'll continue her witness. She'll continue her ministry, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, in order to equip the saints yet again, like the other women, like the brothers of Jesus, and like Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, as an aside, it's also the last time we hear about Jesus' mother, who we will bid adieu in Acts chapter 1, whom is entrusted to John the Apostle, but whom also would have had the Holy Spirit poured out upon her in that upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, I'm thinking would have gone forth with John, continuing to minister to the needs of the saints. That makes so much sense because she's like among the other women as well. Bernard of Clairvaux called Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles, because of her role in telling Jesus' disciples about the empty tomb. Mary brought the news to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She's so excited, she could not keep her enthusiasm to herself. She was bursting at the seams. Have you ever felt like bursting at the seams for some good news that you want to share with everybody you met? Maybe it was a great trip you took or a powerful movie you saw. Maybe it was a fabulous restaurant you ate at. Something big that happened to your family. A great test came back from the doctor. Something happened in a school of one of your young children. Something so fabulous you were bursting at the seams to tell people. That's the kind of enthusiasm Mary Magdalene had about Jesus' resurrection. Seeing Jesus risen from the dead was the best thing that ever happened to her, and also too for the church, and here too as well. So let's be honest. Why is it that we can easily share news of a family event or a trip or a movie or a restaurant, but we balk at the idea of sharing the best news of all, the news of Jesus' resurrection? What matters more, a movie with a good plot or Jesus overcoming death once and for all? We've all witnessed the same event that Mary Magdalene did, but we saw it with the eyes of faith in God's word, so we have witnessed the resurrection. You hear it every Sunday. You witness it at the table. We have been witnesses of the resurrection as well. We know Jesus was raised from the dead. We know we are freed because he broke the bonds of death once and for all. It's preposterous that we will not share the good news of Jesus with the same joy and enthusiasm that Mary Magdalene expressed when she told the disciples about Jesus. It stands to reason that if you and I can't believe that God would raise his own son from the dead, how can you and I believe he would do it for you or for me? Mary Magdalene loved and served Jesus and witnessed to his resurrection. We do well to love and serve Jesus as well, even in times of distress, even if all seems lost. Let us proclaim this Sunday and the Sundays and the weeks to come. Let us proclaim the good news, first proclaimed by Mary Magdalene, that Jesus is risen from the dead. Now let's continue to maintain our trust in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for historical figures like Mary, who are examples to us of your faithfulness and of your love. And we just ask that as we go forth, that we would go as historical examples of your son as well. That we go forth with enthusiasm. We go forth with faith. We go forth with the word ever on our tongue. We don't want to be like Mary. We don't want to be like Mike. We want to be ourselves, the people you've given us. But give us that courage, that boldness, that passion. This day forth and forevermore. Amen.